Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on tonight. Truly, today is the Lord have made, and we will rejoice. And the scripture say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." We lift up that Master's name of Jesus and give Him the praise, glory, and honor due unto His name. Again, I welcome you on today, and I'm so excited that you've chosen to tune in with me on this evening and today. I know that the Lord have a tremendous blessing for you on today. And so I'm going to invite you just to come on in and make yourself right at home. Truly, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you and you, let us exalt His name together. We come to lift up Jesus and give Him the praise on today. I'm going to invite you, if you go with me, over to Psalms 119. Our lesson on tonight is Commitment Bible, looking at our commitment to the Word of God on tonight and looking at the relevancy and utilizing it to the relevancy for today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will tremendously, yes, tremendously blessed through the revelation and understanding of the Word of the Lord. We must recognize that the Bible is the Word of God to mankind. It is the only divine authority for salvation and the only foundation for divine guidance for the child of God. Propagating it to all the world is a great task of the church. Now let's take a look at our scripture reading for tonight, or what we're looking at on today. It's over at Psalms 119, verses 89 through Psalms 104. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Sing you this day according to thy ordinance, for all are they thy servants. Unless thy law have been my delight, I should have been perished in my iniquity. I will never forget thy precept, for with them thou hast quickened me. Thine, save me, for I have sought thy precept. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will thy testimony. I have seen an end of all action, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, so through the commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have made more understanding than my teeth, for thy testimonies are meditation. I understand more than the ancient, because I kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I have understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And so that's the scripture that we're looking at on tonight. And again, that's Psalm 119, verses 89, number 104. Now, when we look at the Bible, it's like no other book known to man. It is unique in that it is the only book of its kind written over a period of 1,600 years by authors who came from all different walks of life, yet it never contradicts itself. Throughout history, many thousands of writings have come and gone, But this book of books, however, never dies. Like no other book, the Bible affects all people and society. When it is honored, life is elevated to a higher standard. Whether it is rejected, there is often backwardness and great poverty. Over time, many educators and philosophers and churches have relegated God's word to a lower status, placing it on the same level as the great books of history or poetry. Many people are deceived into believing this theory to be fact. However, this theory does not alter either the impact or the divine authority of the scriptures. As a child of God, we must not underestimate the immersed value of God's word, for it should lead us into every area of our lives. Thy word is a lamp unto me and a light unto my path. That's Psalms 119, verses 105. In the wicked and deceptive in which we live, we cannot afford to be ignorant of his message or half-hearted in our desire to live according to his precept. All of us can secure a greater understanding and develop a deeper commitment to God's word. Let's look at desiring the word. Psalm 119, verses 97 say, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." The everlasting word. When God moved upon Moses to write the first five books of the Bible, he told him not only what to write, but also what precaution to take, so that the writing would be preserved. Later, when the manuscripts of the scripture were copied by scribes, each word was written and checked one character at a time. It is a mistake was made. The entire copy was destroyed, and the scribe began copying again from the beginning of the document. God commanded that the copying should be meticulous. Stern warning were directed at any person who would add to or take away from his word. Over in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse 2 say, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Many trustworthy copies were produced by faithful scribes. These copies were read and recopied by the faithful down throughout the century, so that the same word of God, which was fresh and alive to them in their day, is still fresh and alive to us today. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 states, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Is the Bible applicable to the lives of people today as it was 1,100 and even 50 years ago? Has God's written word became outdated as a result of political or cultural changes throughout the world? When we open our Bible to read it, that is, if the words are meant for us today? Well, the answer to all of these questions is a resounding yes. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one little tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Matthew 5 and 8. Now let's look here. The word of power, the power of the word. While there are thousands of in our world which have great value to our society, in that they cause people to think more honestly about themselves, only the Bible will truly change a life. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he responded by quoting the scripture, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. When used with sincerity, the word of God is our most powerful weapon to fight the temptation of the enemy. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee," Psalms 119 and 11. When the word is hidden in our heart, we come to see it as Christ sees us. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Romans verses 16 and 17. We are not easy prey for the devil when we know who we are. Now, the Word of God not only gives us power over sin, but also teaches us wisdom for our day-to-day cares of life. It has also put a spirit of rejoicing in our heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, makes the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping of them, there is great reward. That was Psalm 119, verses 7 through 11. Another of the power of the Word of God is seen by looking at the universe when God created us. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear. Hebrews 11 and 3. It is the authority of that truth which God spoke in the first chapter of Genesis that keeps the verse functioning as we know it is today. This will continue until God will decree otherwise. Now, 2 Peter, verse chapter number 3, verse 3 and 7 states, this verse, that there shall come in the last scoffer, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the century. Creation. For this they are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heaven were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, by the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heaven and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Yeah, milk the meat. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may be growthed by, 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes need his mother's milk in order to receive a properly balanced diet and thereby sustain a rapidly growing body during the first several months of life. In the same way, a new child needs to be spiritualized by the very basic of God's nutrition that a baby received during its first few months, determining its future growth, development, its health, and its ability to fight sickness that it may encounter in the weeks and the months. The baby must also receive teaching from the Word of God in the early spiritual. For then obeying the word of God provides an avenue for growth as well as a defense system against temptation, spiritual attack. Included in this diet are the topics such as the grace of God, faith, and trust in God. Moreover, he needs to learn the value of consistent prayer life combined with the reading of God. Without this milk of the word, the new believers will have difficulty weathering the spiritual battle face in life. Once he mastered the basic diet, the young believer is ready to go on to the meat of the word. Hebrews 6 and 1 states, therefore, leaving the principle of the Christ, let us unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentant dead works and of faith towards God. And so here, the writer of James, Hebrew, was saying for us, you know, it's time to move on. It's time to go on to perfection. perfecting, spending time in the Bible, perfecting prayer, perfecting living holy and doing the things and the work of the Lord, perfecting those that God has given to us in our lives and things. And so we as children of God, we must go on to perfection and perfecting it, carving out time and committed to that time to spend in God and in the Word. And that brings glory in and through the God. As a new convert grows and becomes established in Christ and to develop Christian character and attitudes, as the progress of growth takes place in us, God directs us to a particular area by which we can edify his people. Growth is a continual process for every child of God. He said, I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto which is your reasonable, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. 12:1-2. Now, many times I share with the children of God, good filtered through when you make a decision or trying to God's will, or should I do this, or to do is go back to Romans number 12, verse 2. The latter part there, verse number 2, is that you may that be formed by the renewing of that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect one. And sometimes there's three different levels here. You have the good, and you have it, and then you have the perfect will of God. Well, many times, sometimes we live in that good and acceptable realm. But we don't want to stay there. We want to move over into getting into the perfect love. Progress as we continue to commune with God and carving out time with him and beginning to invite the Holy Spirit to take and inviting the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in all truth. Now, we must do this daily because we can begin to walk in our own fleshly mind. But when we daily begin to say, God, I mean, and want to be led by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead and guide me today. Help me in my weakness, in the places of falling. Help me in the places where I'm at. And when you invite God in, he'll come on in. He'll come into those areas. He'll meet you right there where you find yourself at the greatest struggle. Each time when you find yourself in a battle and battling and trying to break away from us, that we know that God will not want us to do, that takes prayer and sometimes even fasting it out. And every time you have that urge, desire, go in another direction. Or pick up the Bible, or start singing the songs of Zion, and things, replacing it with the things of God. And the more we begin to replace it with the things of God, the more you'll see yourself growing in those particular areas. Then you have to move yourself away from the people or that influence that you find yourself around, so that you'll be no longer influenced or come up under the power of that because somebody else is doing it and thing. And so once we begin to become more cognitive of it and begin to replace it with the things of God, with a song, with a word, or speak out the scriptures out of your mouth and begin to sing, say the word of the Lord, or go back and read another scripture, coupled with God, help me. And you'll begin to see God begin to turn things around and give you total victory. And it's a progress. We must continue. Yes, we stumble. We fall. We must get up and start all over again. Now let's look at the strength of the word. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Each of us has been in the position to feel the reality of the word of God in action, either in a quiet time with the Lord or while the Lord is using his minister to reach into our hearts. God's words reveal things in lives that sometimes we are not aware exist. God gives us the opportunity to repent and find spiritual strength. The feeling of conviction is not carnal, but once again, the word proves to be our friend. If we could not see the area of our lives which need changing, we could never grow. Our spiritual walks would eventually suffer, and we would become stagnant and backslide. Christians should therefore welcome of the Lord that comes from his word. Now, let's look at the sharpness of the word. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6 and 17. We are to be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, for he wants us to use us to minister his word to others. Moreover, the word is like a sword to be used in the battle against temptation to witness to others. While we are unable in ourselves to cause a person to believe in God and to obey him in repentance, water baptism and reception of the Holy Ghost, we can use the word of God. Now, not only is it sharp, and is the strength of it, of ours is in the word of the Lord, but also recognize learning that word is very, very key for us as children of God. It says on 2 Timothy 2 and 15, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One benefit of the study of God's written word is it's to provide us with a clear understanding of his direction in our life. Through prayer and study of the Bible, God's thoughts become thoughts. And his will become our will as it is saturated in our spirit. And so I want you to hear that, repeat that again, because it's so very key that we must saturate our mind, saturate our spirit with the word of God. And the more word we get in reading our word, the more victory we will gain. And things, and then our thoughts become more like God's thoughts, and our will become like his will, and even our ways will become his ways because we have studied his word, what he wants. We know how to walk in and out because we are studying the word of God. Now, the Lord desires to use each of us to reach the lost souls surrounding us each day, as well as the need of other members of the body of Christ. In his first epistle, honest Christian to be ready to give an answer concerning their faith. Sanctify the Lord God heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. When we share with people what the Word of God tells us about salvation, we have an undeniable foundation on which to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And another benefit that we reap from studying God's word is spiritual stability. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25. The way our spiritual house weathers the life is having the word of God as a foundation. Romans 6 today, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is important for every Christian or child of God to hear God's word taught and preached. There are as many different styles of preaching as there are messages being preached. God uses various personalities and backgrounds of ministers to speak to his people to meet their needs. Preaching is far more than just randomly selecting a passage and applying it context to our life or of the audience. God speaks through his vessel to minister individual needs of believers and to draw sinners to salvation. Romans 10:17 states, so then faith comes hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listening to the preached word of God builds faith. scriptures applied in practical ways to the areas in our lives affect our walk with God in a positive way. Titus 1 and 3 say, but have in due time manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. As we listen to the preaching of God's word, his will is manifested and uncovered to us. And so you can see why it's important for us to listen to his word, even to the preaching word and things, because it is revealed unto us. God's will is being manifested unto us. And that's why it's important to be in church, morning worship, because God is revealing his will unto people. Now, not only will he reveal it, but as we study it and as we listen to the preach word and the taught word, obeying the word is just as key. It said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearer only, deceiving your own selves. James 1 and 22. All of our Bible study and verbal commitment to live for God are meaningless if we fail to obey God. If we claim to be a child of God, resist God's attempt to bring us closer to him, we are doing ourselves. Meaningful and our obedience must come from faith in God and a sincere heart and a desire to please God. Romans 6 and 17 state, but be thankful that ye were the servant, but ye have obeyed from your that form which was the lunch. And so he's saying, be thanked, but God be thanked that you were a servant of sin, but now you obeyed from the form of the heart of the doctrine and the law, and God has delivered you and has brought you out. God is not looking for people who merely obey rules because they feel obligated to him. What God desires is obedience from those who, with a heart that say, Father, I love you, and I want to do what is in your sight. Here, we must recognize that even out of our obeying the word of God, he doesn't want us to obey in things out of just a fear, but he wants us to obey him out of our heart, that we have just that much love in our heart and wanting to please him. That's why because we love the Lord our God and we'll please him. It is sincere obedience that child of God to God's kingdom. For it's a vital in our with the obedience to God can be relationship between a husband and wife. A successful marriage is based on commitment. Once a person is married, he will not date another person. He has a commitment to his relationship. When a marriage couple fail to follow their commitment in marriage, they will soon separate. In order to be a child of God, a person must commit themselves to Jesus Christ. But if they live up to their commitment, they will soon drift away and lose their relationship with Christ. And so it's key for us as children of God to keep our commitment. Now let's look at the word and prayer. Prayer is one of the child of God's greatest privileges and responsibility. However, a common hindrance to a successful prayer life is failure to understand how God wants us to pray. Now Matthew 6 verses 7 through 15, Jesus taught his disciple pray by giving an outline to follow. We too can learn how to pray from life. It's not to say we should merely recite the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. Neither does it mean that we should go out and purchase a book of prayers to recite to God. Rather, we should spend time in the Bible and study to discover what the Lord teaches about prayer. One feature often used in prayer is to quote verses of scriptures. And the word builds faith in our hearts to believe God for answers to our needs. Praying the word of God always points us in the right direction for spiritual growth and maturity. Moreover, when we are praying the word, we are praying the will of God for us. As his word is spoken in prayer, it has often become a true source of strength and encouragement to our soul. Let me end 32 state. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Acts 20 and 32. And so here, God said that the word is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And so as we give ourselves to the word, it's going to build you up, and then it's going to give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. And that in itself is worth shouting and praising God and giving him the praise and glory that's doing to it. Now let's look further. As we're propagating the word, God is committed to his word. Psalms 138 and 2 say, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So vital is the word of God, and so committed is God to his word that the scripture tells us that God has magnified the word above his name. There is no need to ponder the thought that God may decide to put aside his word. God is committed to his word, and he has placed within it stern warnings against anyone who tried to change it in any way. Now, you can see that over in Revelation 22, verse 18 through 19, it states, For I testify unto every man that hearing the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the word of this prophecy, take away out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And from the things that are written in this book. And so, children of God, we see the importance, the gravity of not taking anything away from what the word of God and things, because he has said he'll take you out of the city of holy city. He said also that you will not be able to go have no part of the book of life. Your name will not be written there. And it said from things which are written in this book. He said you cannot change it or alter it. God is committed and sincere and serious about his word. And so we must be children of God, must be careful and hold it in high esteem. Now let's go with the word. Mark 16 and 15 say, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has commissioned his people to take the gospel as recorded in his word to the lost. If we are actively share the gospel, our to the Bible must be unwavering. It is the foundation upon which our faith rests. Before we can minister God's word, we must be students of the word. We can only preach the word to others after we have learned its message and committed our lives to live by its command, its precept, and principle. Members of Christ's bodies are the channel through whom God's voice is heard in the world. We are Christ's body, his ambassador in this world. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. As his feet, hand, and voice, we are to come into all the world with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. When we go in the power of God's word, we will witness people receiving salvation. We will witness them being healed. We'll be witnessing them receiving strength in Christ. 2 Corinthians state, chapter number 3, 4 and 6 state, And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able minister of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit. For the latter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Our ability to share the gospel is the result of God's guidance and his anointing of the Holy Ghost. This does not discount the value of study, for God has little to anoint if the vessel he desired to use is empty. Witnessing without the anointing of the Holy Spirit may drive people away from the truth. But the word with the anointing of the Spirit, God's Spirit, brings faith, conviction, and conversion. Most of us can relate to the experience of witnessing to someone and knowing the whole time that the person we were trying to reach was not comprehending what we were saying. Our words seem to fall to the floor. At other times, our words flood slowly and readily, recalling scriptures after scripture. We could sense our word penetrating the hearts of the listener like a two-edged sword, and it brought results in the praise. See Hebrews 4 and 12. God greatly desired to work through us. Often, when God uses us to minister to someone, we may not be aware that we are being led by him. Being used of God should come natural, but it should never be taken lightly or even for granted. Now let's look at the with the word. Matthew 28:19-20 say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things where I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." It is essential that new believers be disciplined or taught with the word of God to counterattack on our faith. We must have the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is used as an offensive and a defensive weapon. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17. By teaching the Bible to new believers, we not only to defend their experience with God, but also to overcome problems at home, at work, and in the community. It will help them to overcome personal failures, trials, and even persecution. The word increases their faith and places them on a solid foundation. The word will re-educate the conscience of a person who lived much of their life with no knowledge of God. For our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that is, in sincerity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. 2 Corinthians 1:12. God gave us a conscience to help guide us morally. If we understand God's word, our conscience comes to form by the principles. Now, the person who educated strictly from a humanistic standpoint and a worldly morality will be introduced to the guidelines. While some basic concept of right and wrong among all people, sinners, saints, believers, will learn more about God's principle and how to live in harmony with the Holy Ghost in them. We have an open invitation to enter into the holies of holies, to search God's words freely, and to learn more of him. When we learn about him, we become and come to know him as a faithful friend. And so, God is calling us to be committed to the word of God so that we can understand his will, so that we can conform our life to his will that he had for us and his thought that he had for us. We begin to understand who we are even in Christ. The more we give heed to it and understand it, the stronger we become as a child of God. And so I encourage you and invite you to consider developing a time every day, even if it's for 5 minutes. It can start off at 5 minutes and say, I'm going to sit down for 5 minutes uninterrupted. It's going to read the scripture. And I'm going to, before I read, I'm going to pray and say, God, give me understanding about your scripture and your word. And then begin to just read the word of God. And the more you read the word of God, the more understanding the word of God. And then not only are you understanding the word of God, but God also let us know that faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. Then also, we also talked about that when we are reading the word of the Lord, that how that it becomes that we become an inheritance for us, and that God will bless us and things in a mighty way because we're understanding more of the word of God. And so it's very important, children, as never before, is to getting the word of God down within our hearts, never before, and learning of God and even of the things of God, so that he blesses us in a mighty and a special way. And that's what you want to do. Talk the length of the word, for the word of God is quick and is powerful, and any two-edged sword piercing even the dividing of the soul, spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Also, we talked about the word, the sharpness of the word. It said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is of God. And so we as children of God, as we study the word, we're going to benefit from it. It's going to lead and guide us and direct us. It's going to enable us to even help us to make decisions, right direction in which we should go in when we're trying to make decision and we find ourselves being halt between two opinions. Well, the word of God will settle the matter. Now, here also, Romans said over in 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reservice, and be not come to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Well, when we renew in our mind, the word of God is going to enable us to see it the way God is. It's going to enable us to make the decision that will bring glory and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to fortify us, and it's going to strengthen us, and it's going to bless us. Then over in Acts 2:20 and verse 32 said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And so if you build up, other than praying in your Holy Ghost, and you need to study the word of God and get into the word of God and just begin to and watch God just build your life and build you back up and build those areas in which necessary try to destroy. God will build you back up because you're heeding to the word of the Lord and you're giving yourself to the word of God. It said, just as our physical bodies require a balanced diet in order to be healthy and vibrant, so must we nourish the inner man with the word of God and to be a healthy Christian. As we supply faith and make the effort to study, memorize, pray, and listen to the Bible, our spiritual man matures and becomes stronger. God's word truly becomes a part of our daily lives. To know the word of God, we should be one of the priorities in our life as child of God. Neglecting this area may result in unnecessary failures and struggle. People are often frustrated and confused when they attempt to understand spiritual things without studying and obeying the word of God. Every child of God must be committed to the word of God, for it must be a lot real to them every day. They will guidance and spiritual strength, encouragement, and understanding in the word of God. Moreover, as they walk with God, he will use the word to reach out to people around them who need salvation. Now, if we desire for God to trust us with abilities in his kingdom, we must first be willing to learn and live the basics of his word. When we commit ourselves to his word, we will believe him for his promises, and he will lead us into a closer relationship even with him. So, child of God, it is so vital for us to begin to get into the Word of God, study the Word of God, it's going to build you up. So it's just going to build you and fortify you and undergird you as you're studying it. It's going to give you greater revelation of who you are as a child of God. And it's going to be able to fortify as you move forward. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 119 and 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my and a light unto my path." Psalms 119 and 105. Often in Psalms 119, verses 97, he went on to say, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day." And so here the psalmist is saying, I meditate on your word, God, all day. And the Bible said that he will keep us in perfect peace. I is stayed on him. And so that's why the psalmist was saying, oh, how he loved the law, word of God, because he kept it and it kept him in such a great peace in his mind because he meditated on it day and night. And so children of God, we must be careful for the things that we sit before us and think. Television, you have to watch what you put before you and things, but you must meditate your mind on the word of God. Now, the law of the Lord is perfect, cut a soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The law, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. For to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. For by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So, child of God, I pray you get your great reward by keeping the word of the Lord and studying the word of God and spending. And so if you get, leave this lesson, I want you to think about doing something before you do anything else. I want you to sit down and think and say, I made my commitment to reading the book. How can I carve out more time to just taking time, read just the word or listen? And it can be. And to be the man or the woman of God that God has called to be. You may be saying that, well, I do listen to my gospel shows and listen to some of the teaching. Well, that's a little different, and that's very good as well. But God is wanting to talk with you personally through his word. And so when you take a moment and begin to open up your Bible and to read it, and then God will speak to you. And I hear the Lord saying is that, you know, just to share further is that, because many times we can go to the word of God and you'll say, oh, well, so I hear people say it many times. I don't understand what I'm reading. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes the word for me to pronounce. But I encourage you to try to employ this particular prayer by when you sit down for the time that you're going to read the Bible, ask God, and invite the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and begin to say, dear God, as I read and study your word today, I ask that you open up my understanding of your word as I read it. Let it become alive to me so that I can comprehend it. And so as you ask God to open up your understanding as you read it, God will begin to open up your understanding. You'll begin to see it. And what will be so profound is that when you go to church, the man or the woman of God will begin to speak almost the same thing because they have laid it down in their heart just to share the same thing. So you didn't know or he didn't know that you was going to be reading that chapter. Well, that's how God does. He works in such a mysterious way to bless us, to let us know how it really is in and through our life. I think as you begin to take a scripture and maybe just starting out by just taking one scripture, one day, and just say, Lord, for three times a day, I'm going to just, like I have a meal three times a day, I'm going to just take this one scripture and I'm going to read it three times each day, 3 times a day. And so what I mean by that is, just say, for instance, if it's Psalm 101, verse number 1, by reading it 3 times and then taking it and read it 3 times a day. And so what you would do, you could set out for a goal that by reading, and one of the, always share with those that are going and just started reading their Bible and Word, I always encourage them to go to the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And I normally encourage them, like today, maybe say for instance on the first day of the month, by using, starting out with Proverbs chapter number 1 and reading it on that day, the first day of the month, and then taking and reading it 3 times a day. And the more you getting it into your heart and into, as opposed to just reading it, maybe taking it and reading it 3 times a day. Or perhaps you can't read it 3 times, at least try to commit to at least once. And then on the second day of the month, read Proverbs chapter number 2, because there's 31 as in many of the month, as well as the 31st. So you have a Proverbs per day, per month. And the more you read it, the more wisdom you are attaining from the Word of God. And couple on by reading other passages of Scriptures as well. But that's a good starting place, to start just there. And you'll be amazed how God will tremendously grant you with spiritual wisdom beyond your own age. It would just blow your mind of just seeing God in a different light, because it open up your understanding and things, because you've given yourself to the Word. And that's what we mean by giving yourself to the Word, is meaning that I'm not just going to read it, but I'm going to sit down and take time with it. I'm going to read the Proverbs and things. I'm asking God to open up my understanding. And then, a chance and time, go back and read it again. And if you can't read it, find that scripture that's out of that, and read it maybe 3 times before you close your Bible. And that's how you start committing it into your heart and into your mind. Or you may say, well, I'm going to do that whole week. I'm going to finish that one scripture. I'll go back the whole week and keep reading that scripture until I memory. And I tell you, it blesses your brain power and your understanding. It gives you greater depth and in God and the Word of God. It is just a tremendous blessing and have so many benefits in our life. Don't you know the scripture says that the Word is health to our body? And so in eating the Word of God, constantly eating or reading the Word of God, is bringing life to your body and bringing life to your life. And if children of God begin reading the Word, it's healing, it's a cleanser, it's a fuller, it's a what cleanses us and things. I tell you, child of God, it is some of the most wonderful to be committed to the Word of God. And so I'm going to get ready to close, and I'm going to pray that, yes, you, that God will help you, that you will get a system where you will spend time and you'll be able to keep your commitment. And if you're early, that wake up early in the morning, that will be the good time to do it, because there's nothing, things to try to distract you, but you can give your full attention and your time to the Word of God. Father, we come right now. We thank you, dear God, for this lesson on today. We thank you, dear God, for talking to your people on today about the commitment to the Word of God. Father, we thank you because we recognize that your Word will build us up, and it will also give us an ascension among the saints. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would just bless all of my listeners on today, that you would, when they begin to try to comprehend God, that you will undergird them and fortify them in a mighty and a special way, God, in the name of Jesus. I bind every distraction that will come to distract their mind, heart, and soul from the word of God. We come against everything that is not like you, Lord. We ask your sovereign will to be done. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor because we know the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. Lord, Father, this is prayer that your will be done. Strengthen them, fortify us as we commit ourselves to the word of God. And we'll pray. Name God, Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, it's been being with you on today. It's been a pleasure for all of my listeners that was able to learn today to know that Jesus loved you with an everlasting love. He commended his love towards you. Hold fast and don't give up. You can weather this with the strength of God. And in my closing, I always say, if you don't, God got it. And just a question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and ye shall be received. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Truly, husband, I pray that you've been blessed on tonight. Pray that God will continue to strengthen you and continue to rest, rule, and abide. Henceforth and forevermore. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.